Poorly Read.
The album version of that, and it was Let's Get Retarded.
Yes.
And he opens it by going like, in this context, I don't mean no disrespect. I'm like, maybe that's what we should say.
We'll just play that clip from the Black Eyed Peas song.
And just like replace the word with like whichever thing.
What, every time we say something dodgy. In this context, I mean, no disrespect.
Let's just get racist in here. Let's get misogynist in ha. Gifton keeps laughing and laughing.
So we recorded all of that.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, right, let's start.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Alright, we're starting.
Yeah.
Hello everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Yeah. Baby, I'm ready to go. I'm back and I'm sitting on Tom's bed, shout it out. The podcast where we talk about 90s hits and how no one has that hair anymore. fuck. I forgot about the song. Order of the Phoenix. We're talking about the 90s. So get yourself a mug of tea and put on your tidy whities.
I think tea and tidy whities are still very relevant today. Thank you very much. Not that I drink tea or wear tidy whities, but they're a big part of the culture.
Yes, tea, tidy whities, and severe influenza. There we go. Oh, stay safe, everyone. What? I mean it. We were talking about dancing.
Yeah. And we're not going to talk about it anymore.
Yeah, we had our conversation. It's not our fault you didn't hear it.
This is our views on dancing.
Each week we just do a here's our views on and yeah. Just have a thing.
Yeah, or Patreon special, Patreon exclusive.
Yeah, but no one's got money for Patreon now though.
Our views on dot dot dot.
What can it be like? Poorly.
Ethnic cleansing.
It's good, but only when a virus does it. Okay, so.
I mean, it's not really ethnic cleansing then, is it? It's just cleansing.
It depends on how localised it is.
I suppose so.
Oh, God. Our views on mountaineering. Oh, not a fan.
Only if I've got at least two Sherpas.
Just such a... The people who, right, the people who I have the least amount of time for are the people who fucking think it's a good idea to climb Everest.
I mean, I don't know. I guess I get the challenge of it.
I get, it's just not a thing that, it's just these things that people do, like, oh God, doesn't that sound extreme and risky? Let's go do it.
I jumped out of a plane.
Oh my God.
Have I not told you that?
No, and I'm glad that you waited until now because we wouldn't have started this podcast had I known.
It was so good though.
It's only good at the start of the Power Rangers movie. Any other instance of skydiving is ridiculous.
I would definitely do it again.
God, of course you would. I'm going to stay on the ground, away from the sky and away from the ocean. Thank you very much. I consider it an extreme sport flying in a plane. Like, fuck it out. What are we talking about today, Tom? I like having the mic here.
Yeah?
Yeah, I feel like a singer in like a speakeasy, you know?
No, but...
No, you know, they used to have like old-timey like microphones that had like the circular frame around them.
Yeah.
And they would all sing like this, like that.
That was really good. I could almost hear like the radio crackle. So today we're talking about chapter 27, The Centaur and the Sneak.
Oh, is that how you pronounce it? I say centaur.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yours is probably correct. It would make sense.
I think that's how Americans would say it, maybe.
Is it? Okay.
Centaur. Centaur. Yeah, I'd say centaur, because A-U-R.
Centaurs. A centaur. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you're right, I think.
Well, it's one of them and the sneak.
It's the horseman and the sneak.
Yes.
It's the Shetland Scouse and the sneak. It's the Palomino Scotsman and the sneak. I think Firenze is actually a Palomino.
Is he?
I'm sure
it's just now occurring to me. I don't know any breeds of horse.
I think the Palominos are the massive ones.
Yeah. What's a Shire horse? They're pretty big.
Oh, maybe that's, sorry. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. I don't think I know what a Palomino one is then. Should we Google it?
Sure.
You can carry on. I'll
Seems
Google
relevant. So they go to their, they have their first divination lesson with Firenze as their teacher. It's now in classroom 11, because how's Firenze going to climb the ladder up to the bloody astronomy tower, eh? You bloody idiot.
Yeah, that's why the off the like resting quarters in fire stations are not on the ground floor.
Why? Because centaurs can't climb them?
No, so horses couldn't.
Oh. Wait, what? Say that again?
Because obviously fire engines used to be taken by horses.
Yeah.
So they would have their offices above the ground floor and come down on the poles and things so that the horses couldn't go into their offices.
Huh.
Because they couldn't climb upstairs in it or anything.
No. Or shimmy up a greasy pole.
Yeah.
They're notoriously bad at that.
Have you ever seen a horse stripper? The fucking worst. Yeah, and they're like, Pavati's like, oh, I bet you're jealous now, Hermione, that you're not having lessons. Because Firenze. And then Hermione's like, no, thanks, I don't really like horses. And then Pavati's like, oh, but he's gorgeous!
But he's gorgeous!
Which, by all sounds of it, he is. He's like a very attractive half-man, half-horse.
But Hermione's like, yeah, but he's racially impure, so...
Opposite, I'd say. If she just cuts off the first half of him and stitches that, like, Minghella style to, like...
What do you mean the opposite of racial? He's literally half one animal and half another.
Yeah, but the top half is everything Hermione wants.
Yeah, but it's the bottom half is the issue.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, Hitler wasn't, like, blonde or blue-eyed, so it goes to show they can overlook
certain
things.
He wasn't half-horse either.
As far as we know.
That's what they wanted you to think.
Maybe that's why he killed himself in the bunker.
Was they're coming for me. Yeah. As soon as they penetrate Berlin,
I hear the sounds of the glue factory.
They'll realize I've turned all of Berlin into stables.
Yes, I will have a sugar cube. Thank you very much. Yeah, so they go into the classroom and open the door, because it used to be a classroom that was a bit like a cupboard, because it used to be used when another classroom was out of action.
Mm.
Which, why a classroom would be out of action, I don't really know.
Oh, you call it all kinds of magical mishaps and mayhem.
Yeah, maybe they just couldn't get the blood off the walls.
Yeah.
They were like, we don't want you to have PTSD, believe it or not. So we're going to teach you in this cupboard. And then
why couldn't Dumbledore have just used the cupboard for whatever he was doing in there?
Because Dumbledore likes enough room to swing a cat, you see.
A cat, a horse, a woman.
A wheelchair. Just So yeah, they open the door and it's like, wow, it's like an entire like glade, I guess, bordered by a forest. It sounds amazing.
Yeah, it does.
It sounds like a dream bedroom. Yeah. Do you not think so?
I guess so. Although I don't really want my bedroom to feel like outside.
If it was like outside and it was like perpetually like sunny, apart from at night time. But I mean, like, if it was like a summer, like glady foresty type thing with like pleasant flowers.
As long as my electronics still work.
Yeah, you get Wi-Fi in there.
Then yeah, sounds all right.
Yeah, and your bed was like a hammock in between two trees,
I guess. I've never laid in a hammock.
They're fun. I've slept in a few. Yeah,
wow, aren't you well traveled.
Oh god. Yeah, and then Firenze comes fucking galloping out of the forest holding a bow and arrow and he's like, who goes there? But he accidentally lets it go and it pierces Lavender. He's like, sorry about that. Sorry about that.
But Lavender fucking loves it, so it's fine.
No, and it's Firenze, and he says hello to Harry, like an old friend, and shakes his hand.
Yeah, and everyone's kind of impressed that Harry seems to be on familiar terms with Firenze.
Yeah, he's like, yes, I rode on his back and everything.
Yeah.
Take that, Pavali. I've had horse in between my legs.
Yeah, he says he'd have liked to teach in the forest, but his herd has banished him because he's agreed to work for Dumbledore, which is shame.
Yeah, because he has like a big hoof mark on his chest.
Yeah.
And Harry wonders if it was from Bane, because Bane was the other arsehole centaur.
Yeah.
Who has given him grief in the forest. Because Harry rode on Firenze's back, and Bane was like, oh, are you a common mule?
Firenze was like, no, fuck off, Bane. Keep calling me a common mule.
Yeah, I told you, only in private. When you stamp on my chest and say, oh, you're a common mule. And I go, yes, sir, yes, sir. 3 bags full, sir. Yeah.
That's sheep, you idiot.
Boosh. Sorry, I'm such an ass. So they do stargazing, and then one of the girls is like, oh, yeah, so this is near there, and Mercury's near there. That means you have to be careful when handling hot things and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that is human nonsense. Yeah. You've been studying what humans call fortune telling. It's a complete load of bullshit, and we study the stars for long-term trends and, you know, like glacial movements they're basically looking for.
Yeah, they're like the minute thingies of humans is like the scurrying of ants to the universe. We see things that are vast and gigantic and as big as my cock. Like, as you can see here, this and this means that the wizarding world has been living in a brief calm between two wars, and the war is about to reignite. Do you know what I'm saying, Harry? Harry's like, yeah, yeah. Like, see that planet over there? That means that your parents are dead. I was like, I know. He's like, yeah, I just wanted to make sure, you know.
Yeah. I drew it on the charts especially.
Yes. If you were going home each day wondering why your dinner wasn't made. So they wrap up the lesson. It's kind of a waste of a lesson, really. And then Firenze goes out to Harry at the end and he's like, tell your friend Hagrid that his attempts are not working. He would be best to abandon it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Harry's like, what's that about? And then Firenze's like, I can't tell you. I've sworn to secrecy. I haven't been sworn to secrecy. I just like keeping secrets. My favourite thing. Like, do you know this one? So Harry leaves.
Yes. And then he must catch up with Hagrid, because my next note says, Hagrid says the attempt's coming on fine.
Yeah, Hagrid's like, oh, you don't know what he's talking about. It's going fine. Never mind this big gash in me mouth. And then Harry's kind of like, his only happiness at the moment is the DA lessons, because everything's kind of falling to shit in general.
Yes, and they're finally moving on to Patronuses in their DA lessons.
Yeah. Harry wants to see everyone's. He's like, I wonder what Cho's is. And Hermione's like, well, Harry... Cho's can only be one of 12. And I bet it changes every year. And Harry's like, would you like her more if she was Japanese? And Hermione's like, oh my god, yes, we can achieve so much together. Oh god.
So while they're deep in the midst of, in the throes of patroning.
Yeah.
Harry notices the room of requirement door open and then close again.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay.
And then he feels his little thing tug at his trouser leg.
Yes. He feels a little thing tugging on his little thing.
He's like, what?
It's Dobby.
Yeah.
His eyes wide with terror. He's come to warn him, but elves have been sworn not to tell.
He's like, what is it, Dobby? And he pulls Dobby's ears and swings him around the room.
Throws him up to the ceiling and watches him crash to the floor.
Tell me, Dobby!
So, Dobby's trying to fucking tell me, Dobby!
Oh, Master is so kind. And he's like, she knows, she's coming. And Harry's like, ah, fuck. So he blows his whistle and throws confetti in the air. He's like, it's over, guys.
Yes, scram, the lot of you.
Yeah. He's like, run, it's a stampede.
Which they do.
Yeah, they do run, but not because it's a stampede.
No.
That's only in Jumanji.
Yes, just to clear up any confusion.
So they will hightail it out of there.
Yeah, they do. Harry orders Dobby to go down to the kitchen, and live, Umbridge asks where he's been and forbids him from hurting himself. They all run away. Harry hopes everyone has the sense not to go straight to their common rooms, to go to places that are closer, like the library or wherever, and to just innocently look like they were hanging out.
I would have just jumped off of my nearest banister and, but obviously, like, arrested my momentum before I got to the floor and gently alighted and then just strolled out into the grounds.
Yeah. And if Umbridge happens to be on one of the staircases and says, why is that student falling? To be fair, why don't more people get around like that?
Yeah, I would all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take the stairs all the way to the... If I'm in the astronomy tower, I'm not going to take the stairs all the way down to the fucking Great Hall. I'm just going to jump through the middle.
Yeah.
But I guess everyone becomes so, like, sort of, like, ambivalent to it that if anyone was trying to kill themselves, they wouldn't even take any notice.
So he just fucked up his arrest of momentum.
Yeah. It would only be once you got to the bottom, you saw, like, the red splat, and you were like, oh, I guess I should have intervened. Oh, well.
Someone walks past and just, even let's go.
And then another one lands. He's like, well, I'm not doing it again.
Yeah. There's only so much space in everywhere and nowhere.
Yeah, and then Harry tries to run, and then he gets fucking a spell jinxed on his feet and he falls to the ground.
Yes, Malfoy's been lurking.
Yeah, and then Umbridge comes and she's like, oh, well done, Malfoy. 1,000,000 points to Gryffindor. Not Gryffindor, Slytherin. That'd be weird if I gave it to Gryffindor, wouldn't it? Oh, God.
Yes, she takes him to Dumbledore's office and it's full of people.
Yeah, so we've got Kingsley, Dawnish,
Fudge,
who was quite sexy in the film, if I remember.
Is he in the film?
Yeah, he doesn't have any lines. Judge Fudge.
Judge Fudge and Percy Whizzle.
Yeah, and is McGonagall there Pizzle already, Whizzle. Or does she come later?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, McGee's in there as well, I think.
Yeah, Pizzy Whiz.
Yes.
Piz.
P dot Whiz.
Yeah, P dot Whiz. P slash Whiz.
P Whizzy.
P Whizzy, yeah. The P, the W, the I, the Z, the C, the Y. It's P Whizzy. And he's wearing like a backwards cap and like a huge clock around his neck. And Harry's like, you're about 20 years out of date, man. And Percy's like, no, I'm down with the kids. It's like, okay. I'm trying to think of what his rap would be now.
If inspiration strikes, you just jump in. Or one of those things where you won't know until you just open your mouth and do it.
It would be like shit raps. Be like, hey, I'm P Whizzle and I'm in the room. I got a new job and I got a new broom. That's right. And Kings is just like looking at him like.
They ask if Harry, do you know why you're here? And he's thinking he's, you know, been caught red-handed, but then he gets a glare from Dumbledore and he goes, no. No, I don't know. You tell me, why am I here?
And then Fudge is like, oh, so you don't, are you not aware of an illegal organization that has been operating?
Yeah. Fetch the witness. And they bring in Cho's curly-haired friend, Marietta.
Yeah. And she's covering her face.
Yeah. Because big purple pustules have appeared across her face that say sneak.
They should have said something else, really.
Yeah, that's really fucking dumb that it says sneak, because it's basically just a massive flag that says, yeah, this person is telling the truth. Or like, yeah, they are really revealing something, or like dobbing some people in. They're not making it up. It's just confirmation.
That's true, yeah. I never thought of it like that. I just thought it was a dumb word. Like it should have said snitch, or it should have said liar, or bitch.
Or it should have been like a tongue tie thing so they can't continue talking.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Maybe Hermione didn't know that spell.
Yeah, maybe. But just to have it so that, like, if you do tell on us, you'll be, like, branded a sneak or a snitch, whatever, clearly for everyone to see, says that clearly that has been a curse that's been deliberately cast to do that. So therefore, yeah, you must actually be genuinely snitching and telling the truth.
Yeah, it should have been like it did that, did something on her face and then made it so she was tongue-tied. But the thing on her face didn't reveal anything.
Yeah.
It just, like, disfigured her.
Yeah.
It should have just been like an unbreakable vow. So if Marietta tried to snitch, she'd just drop down dead.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, ah, Ivanesco. But yeah, Marietta steps forward. Not steps forward, she wasn't hiding the whole time. Umbridge brings her up from wherever. She got her in her bag.
Just unvanishes her. They ask her questions. She won't answer the questions because of the jinx, and she won't like uncover her face. And Umbridge hasn't been able to cure it. And Harry feels a little bit of pride in Hermione's jinxing ability.
A swell of pride. And he's like, whoops. Oh, we're so childish. Yeah, so then Umbridge is like, no, I know for sure, because Willie Widdershins was in the Hog's Head when they were having this little meeting, and he told me all about it. And then McGonagall was like, so that's why he didn't get punished for doing all those regurgitating toilets. I'm glad to see the ministry works with fairness and justice and all that jazz.
Yeah, and one of the poor directors like, corruption!
Yeah.
Never have happened in my day.
And then, Umbridge is like, oh, so the purpose of these meetings was to form an illegal society. And Dumbledore is like, actually,
this meeting took place before any such organization would have been illegal. So what they were doing was perfectly fine. And that, Dumbledore says that the meetings have not continued since.
And then Harry feels like a warm gush of something behind him.
Turns around and McGee's just, oh, God.
So just all this talk of rules and regulations gets me so excited. Now, I feel something like waft past his hand, and then he sees that Marietta's eyes get oddly like glassy and distant.
Mm.
And then he's like, well, there's no evidence that these meetings have continued. And then Umbridge is like, Marietta, tell them how these meetings have continued. And then she's like shaking her head and shit. And she's like, what? But you came to tell me today that you know, there was a meeting going on this evening. And Marietta shakes her head again. And then she's like, why are you lying, young girl? And she starts shaking Marietta and like slapping her about. And then she starts like disrobing her. And Dumbledore's like, no, Dolores.
Over so many witnesses.
Yes.
Have you learned nothing?
I have a special broom cupboard for this. Yes.
Or just use any old classroom.
Oh, God, yeah, he does some sort of magic at her and Umbridge releases her with, like, stung hands, it seems.
Yes, you cannot manhandle my students.
So then Umbridge is like, whoa, I have this, and she pulls out the parchment and it says, see, Dumbledore's army, and the names of everyone who was involved. And then Harry thinks he can see Dumbledore swell with a little bit of pride. And Dumbledore's like, whoops.
Yeah. And Dumbledore just takes a minute to sort of consider his position. And then it's just like, well, the jig's up. You got me.
Yes. And then Fudge is like, that's it. Arrest that man. And Dumbledore's like, oh, no. You seem to be under the impression that I'm going to, how do they say it? Come quietly.
Yeah, I do love this scene.
Yeah, I do too.
It's great.
Because he has got style, you know?
Yeah. Say what you will about Dumbledore. You cannot deny.
Yeah, he does do everything with a little bit of panache, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Disappearing. That's kind of it. It being absent. Covering up murders, I guess. So done with a little swish, a flick and a wink. I mean, he's like, I've got no intention to going to Azerbaijan. And then Fudge is like, what? And then there's like a flash of silver light, an explosion, and the glass cracking, and everyone's like, ah!
Yeah, and then he fucks them all up.
Yeah. Like, pew, 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 pew.
Yep. High sound effects budget. Yeah. Right here.
And then Harry feels someone grab him and pull him to the floor, and it's McGee. And then Dumbledore comes up to him and is like, sorry about that. Sorry about that.
Sorry about that.
And I had to unfortunately hex Kingsley too, otherwise it would have looked awfully suspicious.
Yes, but quick thinking from him, modifying Edgecombe's memory before she could speak.
But anyway, Dumbledore grabs Harry and he's like, you must continue your occlumency lessons. This is of the utmost importance. And Harry's like, all right. And he's like, but Vince's like, where will you go? To Grimmauld Place? And Dumbledore's like, no, I'm not going into hiding. He's like, well, yeah, you are, though. And also, where are you going? He probably just went to, like, Mallorca or something, didn't he?
Yeah.
He had Dumbledore on the beach in his little fucking, like, Bermuda shorts and sunglasses, little pineapple drink with a straw coming out.
That's what I presume that's exactly where he went.
Oh, but of course he was wearing socks and sandals.
Classic.
Yeah, classic Dumbledore.
Yeah.
With his fucking scar above his knee. Yeah, and then with that, the fork swoops down, Dumbledore grabs his tail and he vanishes in a puff of smoke and fire.
Yes, McGee takes Harry and Marietta to bed and it's Phineas...
Does she now?
Phineas Nigelis, who says that Dumbledore's got style line, is Kingsley in the
Yeah,
movie.
You had to... I was waiting for that. You went to that with no fucking ramp up at all.
No, we've already...
I know, I want the whole quote.
We've already alluded to it.
It's like, you know, Minister... I disagree with Dumbledore on many a point, but you can't deny he's got style. And Fudge is like, yes, quite right. I love the way he robes himself.
I love the way he always wears socks with his sandals.
I love the way that instead of trying to get the blood out of his clothes, he just wears other clothes that complement the colour, you know? So it just looks like a Jackson Pollock, you know? I love it. Yeah, you know, spat out.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, sorry. Wow. Today's the day that Gifton ceased to be funny. Oh, then we go straight into chapter 28.
Snape's worst memory.
Which, if that's his worst memory, then he's had a pretty alright life, I think.
Yeah, that can't be his worst memory.
Yeah, his worst memory is probably the day his dad walked out.
I don't know why that was funny. That just sounded just so, like, callous and throwaway.
Umbridge becomes...
His worst memory is probably probably witnessing his dad slit his mum's throat.
Yeah, God. His worst memory is probably when fucking Lily lay dying in his arms.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, well, or it's not whatnot.
And I was about to say, having to fend off all the necrophiles that apparently exist in this world we've created.
What happened to Voldemort's body? Do you think did it just get, like, blasted into, like, smithereens?
Interesting.
Hmm.
I'd never thought about that.
Yeah, me either. Mate, I'm assuming it probably did. It just got, like, evaporated, disintegrated.
Yeah.
Lots of other aided words.
Castrated.
Castrated, there we go. Aerated.
Hmm. Sedated.
There we go. I mean... Fumigated.
Exterminated.
Oh god, yeah. Bridgie becomes headmistress.
Bridgie.
The news of what happened spreads through the school like wildfire.
Yep.
And yet again I ask how.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I can only imagine that the paintings must tell other paintings and then that's how it spreads.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the spread of a virus.
So everyone, stay away from paintings.
Yeah.
Don't go to the Louvre.
The art galleries will get you.
Just buy a postcard.
Yes. Whatever you do, make sure you don't wash your hands. That's how the germs get in. That's what they don't want you to know.
But the office has sealed itself against Umbridge.
Yeah, which is hilarious.
I think it's the funniest part of this book, Tom. Yeah. So, yeah, she has to just set up shop in her old office. Which yeah. Got a new placard.
A new placard.
Saying, Professor Dolores Jane Umbridge, Senior Undersecretary to the Minister... Now sexy headmistress of Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. No muggles allowed. Brackets. I only eat toffees. Brackets. please bring me some Vicodins. I also like antiseptic wipes. Brackets. If they've got a scent, even better. Brackets. My mother always said, keep your downstairs fresh and your upstairs pretty. Brackets. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the plaque maker said it was too long, but she insisted. Malfoy stumbles across the group talking shit about Umbridge and docks points from them. And they're all like, you can't do that, Malfoy. Prefects can't dock points. We're Prefix 2. Malfoy's like, I know Prefects can't dock points, but I can. Even though Percy definitely docks points from them in earlier books as a prefect.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He does in book 2 after he catches Harry and Ron hanging around outside where...
He was head boy.
Not by the time he was in book 2.
I think he was.
No, he's in 5th year in their first year because he just gets made a prefect. And then he's in 6th year by the time they're in year 2. And then he's in 7th year when they're in their 3rd year.
So when does he get made head boy?
In his 7th year, in the final year.
And when was that? In book 4?
Book 3. And he docks points from them when when they're caught hanging around the scene where Mrs. Norris was petrified. I'm going to like verify that before I leave that claim in the episode. But
No, I think you might be right.
I think I might be right too. So...
Oh my god. So it's like, yeah, so I take 5 from you for talking shit about my queen. 5 from you, Harry, for being you, because I don't like you. 5 from you, Ron, because you're a fucking ginge. And another 5 from you, Hermione, because you're a dirty little mudblood.
Yeah.
Your little smelly hands. Does he take some from Neville as well?
I can't remember, but he takes a shitload from him, and it's because he's part of Umbridge's new inquisitorial squad.
Yeah, which is only comprised of Slytherins.
Yeah. Select students, hand-selected by the head teacher.
In the film, doesn't Filch become one as well? He gets a badge in the film.
Does he?
Because all of the DA lessons and this happening to all just form part of a montage.
Yeah, I remember, and Filch is getting needs a taller and taller ladder to keep putting the notices up.
Yeah. I get a taller ladder and I put a notice up. How am I going to do it? How am I going to keep this up? It's Filch.
It's a very high energy theme tune for Filch.
He likes to clean. He likes to get a badge. But you know what he never gets? Some good old badge. But it's okay because he's got a cat. So he gets mad pussy. Yeah. Then the twins appear, and they in the hall, and they stare at the hourglasses, and Gryffindor's is going like down a ton.
Yeah, Montague tried to get them, but didn't manage before he could get the words out. They threw him into the vanishing cabinet on the first floor.
Yeah, God knows when he'll turn up again.
Yeah.
It's like, dunno. Yeah. He does show up again, but I think that's what broke the vanishing cabinet.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Not it getting smashed in book 2.
I keep forgetting about that. Probably that's all.
But then it obviously works.
Yeah, but Malfoy had to fix it though in book 6.
Oh, so in that case, do we think it was broken from, was it Nearly Headless Nick or Peeves smashing it in book 2? And then it got put back together.
Yeah.
But it's faulty now because it just keeps spitting people out in random places Montague.
That, because they say, I think they mentioned that Montague kept, when he was trapped in it, he kept on hearing voices of people like in a shop. And then it would change to voices from somewhere else. So I think he was like locked in like the limbo between that one and the one in Borgin and Burks for like a little while before he somehow showed up in the bathroom on the fucking...
Yeah, that's bizarre.
That's just another like JKQ.
Another JKQ. Yeah, they say they're out to cause some mayhem.
Yeah, they don't care about getting into trouble anymore now, but Dumbledore's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
Now the Quidditch has been taken away.
Yep, Hermione warns that they'll get expelled and they're like, eh. Not fussed, mate.
Yeah, we've got bigger fish to fry.
Exactly.
And mine's like, I love frying things. Oh, God. So Umbridge summons Harry to her office via Filch.
Yeah, and Filch is all like, oh, I'm going to be allowed to inflict my punishments. and Peeves is to be expelled.
Yeah.
And he's all excited in his fucking weird way.
I roll up my sleeves, I'm gonna expel Peeves. Phil, why does your hair look very Bon Jovi today? It's like, wow. I did get a new theme tune. This fucking action squirrel that you have is bananas.
To be clear, I don't have a squirrel.
I've been watching it this whole time and it's been doing like fucking gymnastics across that tree.
I can't see it.
Oh, it's gone up above the window now.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's fucking nuts. Hey.
All right, yeah. So he goes to Umbridge's office and she could not make it more obvious that she's put something in the drink that she insists he drinks.
Yes. She's like, Rohypno or Rotisserum? Which one do I feel like today?
One then the other. Yeah, you know, Veritaserum first, I suppose, otherwise it becomes pointless.
Yeah, because otherwise he'll wake up from the Rohypno and then he'll be able to tell the truth to everyone who asks. So yeah, she sits him down, she gives him tea, and she's like, drink up, drink up. And he's like, and he sees one of the cats on the wall has very blue eyes and it reminds him of Moody. Mm. He's like, what would Moody say about this? He would say, you should never drink or eat anything that's been given to you by a sworn enemy.
Yeah.
He's like, okay. So he pretends to sip the tea, but keeps his lips tightly pressed together.
And yes,
she's
indeed.
Like, okay, now first question, where is Albus Dumbledore?
Oh, yeah. He's like, well, I don't know.
And she's like, no, drink up, drink up. And he's like, And he's like, look, I don't know where he is. She's like, oh, I think you're a fucking liar. How about I give this potion to you intravenously instead? She takes out a needle, fucking jabs him in the eye, squirts a breath of serum into his brain. And she's like, okay, now tell me on the count of three, do you think I'm beautiful?
And Harry says, duh.
Oh, I don't like Mondays. And she's like, oh, okay. Second question. Do you think this mole is something I have to worry about?
Third question. How many cats on plates is too many?
And would you prefer I have a different kind of pussy on a plate?
Just to be clear, Harry, it's on a plate. If you so choose.
I mean, I'm fine with whichever way you choose to eat it. Oh, God, but there's a huge boom.
Yep.
Boom, boom.
Umbridge wants Harry.
In her room. Oh, let's spend the night together. From now until forever. Everybody, get on down.
Oh, so Umbridge jumps up. The Venga bus is coming, Harry. Harry, everybody's jumping.
From New York to San Francisco, Harry. It's an intercity disco. And then she jumps up and fucking runs out of the room.
Yeah. One floor down, Fred and George have, well, there's lots of fireworks taking place.
Yeah, like, pew, pew, pew.
Like that. But imagine even louder. And it's all very entertaining. And Harry ducks behind a tapestry and finds, to sort of stay out of the way, and finds Fred and George giggling behind there.
I totally miss that bit.
Yeah.
So well, how much room is behind a tapestry?
Yeah, I don't know. He says that there's a door behind there, where there's a door he knows leads to another floor or something.
Right, okay.
And they can't get rid of the fireworks, and they persist all afternoon, and the teachers just send students to go and get Umbridge to deal with them.
Yeah. After she gets rid of the one in Flitwick's office, he goes, well, I could have got rid of it myself, but I didn't know if I had the authority. I was Dumbledore, I would have just fucking Avada Kedavra'd him right there and there. Not Dumbledore. If I was Dumbledore, I would have Avada Kedavra'd him years ago.
Well, fluid.
Yeah. I would have been like 5 foot minimum. God, no, but I'm just, I would not take that cheek.
No, I suppose not, but I mean.
I might just get out of my, like, I don't know, like my shiv and just like, chee chee chee. He's like, ah! And I'm like, yeah, heal that with magic, you little
Fluid,
shit.
Fluid was a dueling champion, though.
Yeah, with a wand, not with a fucking melted end of a toothbrush.
Yeah, my point is, good luck getting close enough to him with the melted end
Expelliarmus.
Of a toothbrush.
Expelliarmus. Ah!
It's not that easy to Expelliarmus a dueling champion.
If you even catch him by surprise.
Can't catch him by surprise, though. That's the point.
Why not?
Because he's a dueling champion.
Yeah, but if he's not ready to duel.
Yeah, but he's always ready to duel.
Well, put like Houdini was like a master of escape, yet someone punched him in his stomach when he was sleeping and it ruptured his liver and that's how he died.
That has nothing. That's what?
No, because when he was prepared, his trick was getting people to punch him and he'd be completely unaffected.
Yeah,
he was ready.
Yeah,
for
I know, but it's just funny the way you phrased that. Oh. Well, Houdini was an escape artist, and someone punched him in the stomach while he was asleep, and he died. So,
yeah.
Well, yeah. No, I got nothing. Point proven.
Yeah, so she's a fucking a sooty mess by the end of that day.
Yes, she is.
Yes.
And they're all very happy about how Umbridge's first day as head has panned out.
Yes.
And Hermione says she's feeling a little bit rebellious.
Yeah, she's like, I might want to do it outside tonight, Ron. And I was like, it's a bit chilly.
Harry goes to sleep. There we go. See how much we've spent on sound effects this episode. Really going all out. We'll get some sponsors soon, I'm sure.
That was Pegasus sleeping in Hercules. That's the sound he makes.
Yeah. Also thought it might have been the Dormouse from Alice in Wonderland.
What Dormouse in Alice in Wonderland? Well, the one in this one fucking in the teacup. That girl, I swear to God.
What, Alice?
Yeah. How did she not get to every single person she met in that film and be like, I'm done with this? Instead, she was so intrigued.
Well, yeah.
Like, fuck off, I'm not sitting and have tea with a fucking a rabbit and an old guy who's obviously a perv and a fucking rodents everywhere. Like,
yeah. Well, now we know why it isn't gifted in Wonderland. The Cheshire Cat can fuck off with his grin as well.
Yeah, fucking smiling at me. No, I'm the Queen of Arts. Thank you very much.
No, off with your head. We're painting the roses black.
Oh my God.
I was going to say we should do Alice in Wonderland after this, but have we just done it?
Yeah, but also that'd be sick.
Yeah, it's on the list.
I'll see how I feel about it. I did a play of Alice in Wonderland and I have a little bit of like PTSD from that, but I'll see if I can overcome it.
So yeah, Harry goes to sleep. And in his dream, he gets through the door.
Yeah.
And he's inside a circular room full of doors, crosses it through one of the next doors. Then he's in a rectangular room through that, through the next door. Then he's in a very high-ceilinged room. And he knows there's something in there that he really wants.
Yeah, and he sees lots of like the shiny glass orbs everywhere, but doesn't know what they are.
Mm.
And then we hear like... And he wakes up.
No, not again. We hear a bang of a firework.
Oh, of course, yeah, because Seamus is like, oh, look outside, Harry. There's one of the Catherine wheels and something other firework. They think they've mated.
Yeah.
They've collided and now
they've
they're...
banged.
They've banged. And Harry's like, thanks, Seamus.
All these fireworks.
Yeah, here's
reminded me too much of
Joe. Troubles.
Sorry, we both did two completely different racist jokes over the top of each other there. So a shillelagh is like a stick.
Yeah. Do you want to say your joke again so we can get like a clean?
Nah, I think the follow up was fine. if people missed one of them, they can go back and decipher.
Oh god,
it wasn't that good a joke anyway.
The next day, he bumps into Cho on the way to Occlumency.
Why did we free up his hand? No one's going to have any idea why I laughed there. Imagine the dance to the song Tragedy. That was almost what Gifton just did. Just to that sentence he just said.
Oh my god.
Yes, he sees Cho approaching on the way to Occlumency. She apologises for Marietta.
Said, oh, she just made a mistake. I mean, her mum does work for the ministry.
He's like, yeah, well, Ron's dad works for the ministry and he didn't fucking dob us in, did he?
Yeah.
Fuck you, Cho. She's a bitch.
Yeah. And Cho starts crying and runs off.
Yeah.
And the dragon
appears. That's it. And, and what?
And then a dragon appears. And then he's like, look, that's him. The boy who broke Miss Cho's heart. The man who broke Miss Cho Chang's heart.
Okay, I don't know what you're doing, but it's racist in a way we haven't explored yet, so.
Oh god, I do not remember the dragons from The Simpsons. And I showed you all that video. And it's like, that's him, the man who broke a dragon's heart. When the rest appear, and they're like, the man who broke a dragon's heart.
I don't remember that. All right, yeah. Cho says it was super mean of Hermione to make that list, and Harry says, oh, well, I think it was a pretty good idea, actually. And Hermione's like, oh, well, of course, if darling Hermione made it, then it must be a brilliant idea. And Harry's like, oh, just fuck off.
Yeah.
And she does.
Yeah.
And that's how that scene ends.
Right, so he arrives at Occlumency late. Snape's like,
you're late.
Then they're about to begin, and then Draco appears, and he's like, sir, a thing has gone on. What's his name? He's showing up in a bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Who was it? What's his name?
I wrote it down.
Montague
Pike.
Montague Pike?
It's the name of a pub. Don't know why I just said it.
Good, I'm glad that all of us will get that reference, dog.
Yeah. It wasn't even a joke.
It's just a statement.
Yeah.
It's just a reference, really.
Never even been there.
This is what happens when things are unscripted, guys.
Anyway.
Anywho.
So they've, yeah. Malfoy comes in and says they found Montague Pike in a toilet.
Snape's like, was he robed? Malfoy's like, no. So he's like, I'll be right there. Quick, Harry, give me my Polaroid camera. Yeah, then Harry sees something shiny.
Yeah, Snape has deposited his thoughts in the pensive as he does.
As he does.
As he does. Before every Occlumency lesson. And Harry is overcome with curiosity, so he goes and plunges his head in.
Yeah. He literally puts his hands around his back, runs forward, dives head first. And then he's like, whoa! Then he lands. He lands in the Great Hall.
Yep, during an exam. He sees which one must be Snape.
Yes. They're all sort of identifiable by their hair, I guess.
Yeah.
He sees his dad, who has hair like him.
Yep.
And he sees Sirius, who apparently is really handsome, with his wavy hair, and the girl behind him is getting all leaky.
She's got a leaky cauldron.
How have we never used that before?
I know. Maybe we weren't quite as depraved as we were back then, as we are now.
But we need like a male equivalent.
It's a drippy wand.
Fuck. Oh, no. We'll think of something. When it happens, we'll let everyone know. Yeah, they're all doing their exams. When they all, after the exam, they all, like, exit the hall and fuck off, and Harry follows them.
Yeah, Harry's super interested in following the Marauders, but he suspects that if he drifts too far away from Snape, given that it's Snape's memory, they will probably cease to exist.
I'm glad that she put that in, because I've always been curious about that.
Yeah. So I guess this must mean that Snape was within earshot of them as well, if what they're saying is...
I don't know about...
It doesn't seem like Snape is close enough to be able to hear what they're saying, but the fact that what they are saying is preserved in Snape's memory is like...
Yeah. Because it should only be what he can hear.
Yeah.
But you're right, it doesn't seem to be.
So yeah, James is playing with a snitch and pulling off a load of very dexterous catches. But yeah, the Marauders notice that Sirius is bored, and they're like, oh, look who it is, bloody Snivellus.
Snivellus Gape.
Bend him over, James. So they approach him, and Snape, as if waiting for an attack, was like ready, tries to whip his wand out, and they expelliarmus him straight away. And then they use an impedimenta him, so he's like down on the ground.
Yeah, then he says, oh, you fucking cunts, whatever. And they go, excuse me, wash your mouth out, mate. And then he goes, scourgify, and soap like bubbles out of his mouth.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, no, that's not nice.
Which, up until this point, has not been how the scourgify spell works.
I know, right?
But what, it just literally cleans the surface.
Yeah, you like, should be like...
Doesn't like scrub it with soap suds.
Yeah, what would you call that instead, like soapify?
Yeah, that'll do.
Or maybe like bubblicious. Yeah. Bubble armor, there we go. And then Lily comes over and she's like, guys, stop it.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah, she's like, leave him alone, he's done nothing to you. And he's like, look, I'll leave him alone if you go out with me, Evans. Says James.
Yeah, and she's like, I wouldn't go out with you if you were the last person in the world.
Yes, I wouldn't go out with you if you were the only virile man in a 100-mile radius.
Yes.
I wouldn't go out with you if my life depended on it. I'd rather slash my own wrist, break my own neck, and then hobble myself before ever going out with you, James. I have spells for each. And get a haircut. James is like, oh, that was a low blow. She's like, where's the only low blow you're getting from me? I said,
Lily asks him what Snape's ever done, and James says, well, it's not really, it's more just that he exists, you know?
Yeah. And then Snape like manages to get free of impedimenta, I think, didn't he? And he sectum semperes James.
Yeah, he throws a spell at James that cuts his cheek, and then James levitates him.
Yes.
Lily says, put him down. And he does, and he just lets him fall to the floor.
Yeah, but doesn't Snape go, I don't need your help, you filthy mug.
Yeah, they're like, Lily, she won't be around to help you, always be around to help you, Snivellus. And he's like, I don't need help from mudbloods like her.
He's like, well, fine then, I won't help you, and wash your fucking pants.
Yeah.
Which, when that happened, I was like, oh, so I guess they don't wear, like, trousers and shit under their robes.
No, I suppose you don't, do you?
That's risky. What if there's a strong gust of wind?
Well, you could say that about anyone who wears a skirt.
That's true. He should wear better underwear then.
I mean, it's Snape, innit? What's he going to...
That's true. The fact he's wearing underwear at all is... and then Harry's like, whoa, and then he feels something on his wrist and he looks up and it's fucking Big Snape.
Real Snape.
Yeah.
It's Big Snape. And Lily's like, put it away.
It's like, how do you make it curve around my wrist in such a way?
Like, it's a prehensile.
The Dark Lord has many secrets. Some he shares. You should see what happens when it opens its mouth, Harry.
Harry's like, no, thank you. Then they whiz out.
Having fun.
Oh, yeah. And then Snape like grabs him and says, You dare
tell anyone about this and I will dig out your appendix with a spoon and feed it back to you.
And Harry's like... unnecessary, but okay.
It sounds like a lot of effort.
No, it's fine. I'm very good at digging things out with spoons. I used to be called Diggy Spoony when I was in school.
Ever wonder how your father got those scars?
Ever wonder why they couldn't locate your mother's uterus when they found one?
I've got it in a jar in my office, Harry.
That's not a pickled hedgehog, I'll tell you that. Oh, God. I was Mr. Spoon 97, I'll have you know.
I mean, Harry's like, no, of course not. I mean, Snape, like, throws him across the room and Harry runs out and more jars explode around him as he runs.
Yes, Snape tells him he never wants to see him in his office ever again.
Yeah.
And then Harry is all upset, not necessarily because of Snape's scolding, but just that his father seems to be every bit as arrogant as Snape had always told him he was.
Yeah. What a disillusionment.
Yes.
Alas.
Alas.
Ew.
Indeed.
I might start saying alas, spoon, spoon from now on. alas, spoon, spoon. Right, chapter 29, careers advice.
Harry tells Hermione he's done with occlumency lessons and the Snape says he's ready to continue by himself.
And Hermione's like, oh, you've stopped having funny dreams, have you? And Harry's like...
Pretty much.
Yeah. And Hermione's like, well, I don't believe you. Prove it to me. And Harry's like, how? And Hermione's like, just kiss me. I can see your dreams if you kiss me. Yeah. And Harry's like, I thought you were just doing stuff. I thought you were kind of with Ron. She's like, oh, I'm sick of kissing a boy.
You should see what he dreams about.
Yes. I've never seen someone who dreams of so much foreskin. Just everything. Just covered in foreskin.
He's not even circumcised.
Like, I dreamt of our first Christmas together, and every present, Harry, just wrapped in foreskin.
Or the tree decorations.
No, Harry's like, look, just drop it. And then Ron's like, look, Marietta was such a twat. No, sorry, Hermione asks Harry about Cho. And he's like, yeah, I've seen her. We had a massive row.
Yeah, a row about Marietta.
Also, I'm just wondering, row written down is just spelled as row, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if, because is row like an international thing? I've heard some Americans say, but I've also often wondered if they say that because they've got it from a British person they know.
Oh, I assumed it was just a British thing.
That's what I think as well. But so I'm wondering if some people read that and was like, oh, they had a massive row.
Maybe. Well, it's one of those things that would have been changed in the American version, wouldn't it, if it is? Yeah, if they changed the word fringe to the word bangs.
Oh, did they definitely do that in these books?
Yeah. But yeah, the fringe, because it talks about Harry's, Petunia left Harry's, shaved his head and just left his fringe to cover his scar. And it's that just left his bangs to cover his scar. I'm like, fuck off.
Yeah, so unnecessary.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, Tom.
Sorry. So yeah, if that is only a British-ism, then in the American version it would have.
If you're American, like, contact us in any way you like and let us know, do you have the word row as an actual, like, Americanism?
Do you have a row? Have you had a row with someone?
Yeah, which means argument. Let us know. Yeah, then Ron's like, look, Marietta was a twat. And everyone's like, I know. But Harry can't stop thinking about the Pensieve and what a knob his dad and Sirius had been.
Yes.
He's thinking of how Lily had intervened, but how she loathed James, and that, like, confuses him. He's like, how the fuck did they even get married then?
Mm.
And he feels sick at the thought of being like his dad, well, before he felt it as a point of pride.
Yeah, and he never had any trouble, like, dismissing the claims that Snape's made about what an arsehole his dad was, because Snape's obviously just bitter.
Yeah, but it turns out it was all true.
Mm. So one night when Ron's at Quidditch practice and Hermione is somewhere... Ginny approaches him in the library.
Yeah, why is Hermione not in the library?
It is explained. It's like Hermione was...
I think she was having like a conjugal visit with Crumb. He just arrived in the lake and she's like, oh, I guess it's time.
Yeah. I've been summoned.
She puts on a scuba suit and like goes down there with the massive like fins on. And they just copulate in the lake and the squid helps.
Somehow. Point is, she's not in the library.
She's not in the library, Tom. But Ginny is.
Yes.
She comes to him in the library and she's like, I've got a package for you.
Hey.
And he's like, is it you? And she's like, how did you guess? He's like, you are wrapped up like a bow and you're covered in foreskin. Oh, God.
I got a leaky cauldron for you, Harry.
Well, that's good. So I've got a chocolate wand.
Is it going to be a something-y wand?
Yeah. Ginny's like, you know how much I love a chocolate wand, Harry. Right, no, but she's got chocolate eggs.
Yeah, Ginny brings him Easter eggs and stuff, and then so the Madam Pince kicks him out of the library for having chocolate in the library.
Yeah.
What's the point of this scene again?
Because the Inquisitorial Squad... Squad? The Inquisitorial Squad. Squad, my God, the Inquisitorial Squad has inspected the packaging, then they gave it to them, and then Ginny's like... And then Harry's like, look, I just want to speak to Sirius. And then he's like, but I've got no way of doing it. And then Ginny's like, well, you know, the benefit of growing up with Fred and George is that you start to believe that anything is possible if you've got enough nerve.
Oh, yeah.
And Harry's like, yes. And then Pince comes over and she's like, oh, what's this about? Oh, last time I heard that was when Firenze was here. Horse copulation, you see. It sounds like Harry's like, I didn't ask about things. She's like, oh, well, I brought the book.
I've made a slideshow.
Oh, Madam Pince, you make me wince. Ever since you gave me a glimpse. Oh, Madam Pince, you made me wince. Ever since you gave me a glimpse. Ding. Pince's glimpses. There we go.
We need to start cataloguing all of the theme tunes. Because there's a lot of theme tunes knocking about right now.
I know.
It's a very busy score.
This week on Pince's Glimpses. Oh, God, so they fuck off out the library.
Yes, they see they've been given appointments for careers advice.
Yeah, advice for their careers.
Exactly.
Tom's reached that point. I can tell because I've gotten more like...
Well, all you did was switch the words careers advice around. Where was I supposed to go with that?
Gifton? Oh, fucking hell.
Fred and George come up to Harry.
Frauge
comes up to Harry.
Sorry, carry on.
They were talking about Sirius. Okay, my note doesn't make any sense.
They're looking at leaflets after they see the notes about, because there's like leaflets in the common room about different careers. And Hermione's looking at muggle relations and they don't need much qualifications.
Another theme tune in the works.
I've not got the brain power right now.
No.
I don't know. Muggle relations. You don't need much qualification. No, it should be like, muggle relations. You don't need qualifications. That was to the tune of Yvonne et Niage. Do you remember that? Oh, Tom, it's the Simpsons episode with NSYNC. I.e. the most important and best Simpsons episode.
Gifton's been really into NSYNC recently.
Guys, they're so good. Yeah. God, if whatever episode is coming out at the end of April, I'm gonna make It's Gonna Be Me like a running gag throughout the entire episode. Oh, I can't wait. And then they look at other careers that are not as interesting.
Yes, and Fred and George basically reckon they can manage to get Harry into Umbridge's office. Or that they reckon they can manage to...
create a diversion.
Yeah, because Harry suggests Umbridge's office and he can use Sirius's knife to get in there.
Yeah, because she's got the fire that isn't being policed. Harry can flew all over the place.
Exactly. I just think, Harry, fucking sort yourself out, man.
Yeah, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, like, what, are you going to actually risk the amount that he is risking by breaking into Umbridge's office?
Yeah, it's a lot, isn't it, just to fucking...
It's a huge amount. Like, he can be, well, for certain expelled, but also probably arrested.
Yeah.
Like, for just, oh, I didn't, like, was my dad really a dick? Like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Just ask him when you next see them.
Also, why wouldn't he, what he could have done, he just walked down to the bottom of the school... gone out the gate and just got the night bus back. It would have got him there in like 30 seconds and then he could have asked and then just come back before the day he was through. Because no one would have known he wasn't at school.
That's true. I'm amazed they don't do that more often, to be honest.
Yeah, I would do it all the fucking time.
Yeah.
I would never sleep at school. I would just go home every night, have my tea at home, watch X Factor, go to bed, wake up the next morning.
Night bus back to Hogwarts.
Yeah. Or just food powder into my common room. Not right now because obviously being policed, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flew powder into Umbridge's office. Hermione spends all day warning him against the plan, telling him how dangerous and stupid it is, which, I mean, yeah, like, classic Hermione, you shouldn't do this, you're dangerous, you'll get in trouble, but, like, I agree.
Yeah, me too. I usually agree with Hermione.
Yeah. Occasionally, it's a bit...
It's a bit much.
Much.
But right now, I'm like, I agree, Hermione.
Mm.
I like when you're assertive and responsible like this.
Yes.
I like when you stand up straight. I like when you march. I like when you salute me, you know. I love it when you wear that hat. Yeah, sure, I'll call you Fraulein.
Snape has completely stopped talking to Harry and potions.
Yeah, he won't even look at him.
Yeah, which Harry thinks is far preferable.
Yes.
But then he smashes his potion at the end.
That
and he
was
brings
so
to
deep. Because Harry's actually managed to make a good potion because Snape's not been hovering around him. But yeah. He puts it on his desk. Snape just chucks it on the floor. And he goes to get some more. And then Hermione's like, oh, I vanished your potion already, Harry. I thought you was done.
Yeah.
And I would have been like, fucking hell. That's all you do is ruin my day, Hermione. Do you know what I wish? I wish I'd fucking not gone in that bathroom in year one. Then you and this hateful crusade would have ended there.
Yeah. If I'd have done as I was told and obeyed all the rules like you always want me to, you'd have been squashed by the troll.
It's like when people ask you, you know, would you go back and kill Hitler as a baby? This is my equivalent, Hermione, you know? Oh, alas, here I am. Spoon, spoon. So...
I love how little sense it makes.
So Harry goes to his career meeting with McG.
Yeah, yeah, and Umbridge is also there.
Yeah, I, for some reason, don't ask me why, I told, I put Umbridge is there like a fanny cake.
So Umbridge is there like a fanny cake. And Harry says when he's asked if he's had any thoughts about his future career, he said he's thought about becoming an Auror.
Should we role play this bit?
All right. Who's playing who?
Which one do you want to be?
Are we talking about Harry and McGonagall or
no,
Umbridge and McGonagall?
Umbridge and McGonagall.
I'll be McGonagall then.
Okay, I'll be Umbridge.
Okay.
Okay. We can continue like explaining a little bit more.
Okay.
Before he gets really into it.
So McGonagall says he needs to take Defense Against the Dark Arts, naturally. Transfiguration, because auras often need to transfigure and untransfigure things.
Since when?
Yeah. Okay, I'll take you at your word for that. G. Charms and potions. Yes, potions, Potter.
Yes.
And Snape doesn't accept anyone below who gets below outstanding on the OWL. So buck your fucking ideas up. May I offer you a cough drop, Dolores?
no, thank you. I've got some soothers. It's fine. she's like, I'm just wondering if Harry has quite the right temperament for an aura.
Were you?
I'm concerned that.
Well, it seems that your marks in defense against the Dark Arts have been quite high, particularly with Professor Lupin. Will you shut the fuck up? Take your fanny cake and get out of here.
Excuse me. I baked my fanny cake especially for this. Yeah. Now listen.
We shared one evening of passion together in the office.
My God, it's all I think about. Like, I didn't even need to use food colouring for the icing on the cake. I just let my juices flow. They were red with the memories of our night together.
Oh, my God.
Ah, Pink and Rosy. That's my nickname for us. You can be Pink. And I'll be Rosy, because for you, McGonagall, I open up like a flower. McGonagall's like, and I'm like a bee, and I put my sting right in there.
Is it pollination season? Harry's just sat in the middle.
He's like looking at his thumbs, like,
Yeah. He's probably used to it.
Before you, McGonagall, I'd never known what it was like to climax before. With you, McGonagall, you truly did open up my Highland spring. Oh, God.
Oh, all right, that was... role play went about as well as could be expected, I think.
Oh, my God. She's like, I'm a little concerned that you haven't looked at Harry's most recent Defense Against the Dark Arts marks. They are cause for concern.
Well, I should have made my meaning plainer. You've achieved good Defense Against the Dark Marks scores, been set by a competent teacher.
Scribble, scribble, scribble.
Yes.
Draws another picture. And this is a picture of McGonagall breaking her heart.
Umbridge interrupts again and says, criminal records are taken into account, so Potter has about as much chance of becoming an aura as Dumbledore has of returning to this school.
A very good chance, then.
Zing!
And then she's like, the minister will never let Potter thingy.
Whatever, never let Potter what?
You know, thingy. You know,
you always do this, Dolores. The details are what's important.
Oh, really, McGonagall? Because I seem to remember you colouring outside the lines when we were together.
She says, well, there may well be a new minister by the time Potter is looking to become an aura. And she's like, I knew it.
That's what you want.
You want to usurp Cornelius and you want Dumbledore in his place so you can have my position as senior undersecretary.
And she's like, you are a fucking lunatic. You're a crazy spoon.
Now take all these foreskins and get out of my office.
And take your red marzipan with you. No. And then she's like, I'm going to help Potter become an aura. It's the last thing I do. And then she's like, Pa, you are dismissed. And then he walks out hearing McGee and Umbridge fighting. Yeah. But then the sounds change. Yeah.
Then Harry thinks he can hear music.
It's like, is that Marvin Gaye again? But this time it's not Let's Get It On. It's that other one. Because I used to go out to party to really get down. So he pokes his head back in and he just sees McGonagall doing lines of coke off of her back. She's like, fuck it. Dolores, you really are Rosie down. So Harry, wait, I haven't got my wig on. Oh my God, I've lost the plot.
Fucking hell.
We're almost at the end.
So Umbridge is still flustered when she arrives at the Defense Against the Dark Arts. And Harry does kind of worry about whether it's worth breaking into our office to use the fireplace, which it totally isn't.
It sounded like you said orifice then.
He wonders if it's worth breaking into Umbridge's orifice so soon after McGonagall has.
I can see these locks have already been picked.
Oh, I thought it was cocaine, but it's just naturally occurring sherbet.
Oh, it's asbestos. Well, you really are flame retardant. Oh, God, naturally occurring sherbet. That's the best. Now, Weasley's wasting Weasley's. Oh, my God.
So Harry considers just abandoning the plan and learning to live with it, which he obviously should do.
Yeah, I concur.
Yeah. And then...
And then...
Diversion.
Yeah. Is there a boom?
I don't know. There's
boom,
noise.
Boom, boom, boom. It's in another room. It might be a diversion, but don't cast aspersions. Yeah, so Umbridge fucking runs out and Harry's like, right, now's my time. The twins said they can give him 20 minutes. So he runs to Umbridge's office, uses Sirius's penknife to slide open the door.
Yep.
I put he knifes it open, but that seems a bit aggressive.
he knifes it open.
And he has the invisibility cloak with him, which I wasn't expecting and was very smart.
Yes. He gets in, whips the cloak off and flews his head to Grimmauld Place.
Can he not keep the cloak around his body at least?
That would have been smart, wouldn't it?
Yeah, just in case he's...
Yeah.
He didn't, though.
He didn't.
He should have just dunked in the fire and gone there.
Yeah, what was to stop him doing that? And then coming back?
Because then if he just stuck his head in just to see if she was in the office when he come back, and then if she wasn't, then he could have probably come back. If she was, then he would have just had to wait.
Hmm. Yeah, Lupin is sat in the kitchen at Grimmauld Place.
Yeah.
And he's like, Harry, what do you want?
He's like, fucking hell.
I wanted to talk to Sirius. He's like, oh, I'll get him. And then he comes back down thinking, what is it? Is it Sirius? You're in trouble?
He's like, no, you're serious. Ah!
And then at this point, I really think Harry should be starting to feel a bit of a dick.
Yeah, me too.
Back in Umbridge's office where he's still got his hands. Yeah, but after seeing like what Sirius assumes must be a really heavy situation that's caused Harry to need to come and speak to him there. Just, oh, actually, I saw this thing where my dad acted like a dick. Is it true? Was he a dick?
So he's like, no, we were all idiots at that age. It's fine.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Oh, but he does say something about Snape. And then he's like, yeah, you know, like, he stopped teaching me occlumency lessons, but, you know, it's fine. And then they're like, what?
Yeah.
He's finished teaching you occlumency? No, you go back, tell him he needs to give you occlumency lessons again right now. This very second, Harry.
Yeah.
And now he's like, oh, hold on, I'm hearing things. So he quickly whizzes back and he puts a cloak over himself just as Filch comes in the office.
Yes. Who is searching for... It's like
permission slips, isn't it?
Yeah, permission
for
to
punishment.
Whip,
yeah.
Whip people, yeah.
Why would they be in her? I guess she's the headmistress, so they would be there.
So Filch is all excited. And
he just can't hide it.
Yeah. He's about to lose control.
And you know what? I think he likes
it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, Harry gets down a floor, thinks it's safe to remove his cloak, and then heads into the entrance hall, where Fred and George have the unmistakable look of people who've been cornered. And Umbridge is like, so you think it's amusing to turn a whole corridor into a swamp, do you? Quite amusing, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
And she's like, well...
You're about to learn what happens to wrongdoers in this school, now I'm in charge.
She's like, snap! As she puts on a surgical glove.
Well, I don't think we are, actually.
Yeah. Do you know what, other one? I think we've outgrown a full-time education, don't you? He's like, yeah, I'm thinking the same, you know. And then so they go, Accio brooms. And you hear bang, bang, bang. And then their brooms that were on chain to the wall in Umbridge's office came flying down the hallway and stuff and land right in front of them. One of them, the padlock still attached.
Yeah, with like an iron nail still hanging out where it's like pulled itself out of the wall. Pretty powerful summoning spells, really.
Yeah, I'm amazed that the brooms didn't have protection from that on them.
I know, and I'm amazed that they were so confident in this plan.
Yeah.
Because if that didn't work, if the chains were too strong for them to pull away with a summoning charm, or if there was magic on them preventing them from being summoned, they were fucked.
I always read it as they weren't preparing. They didn't think this was going to be it, but in that moment they were like, imagine what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah, and yeah. They, yeah, like they've decision. Been rumbled, and so like, all right, this is it then. We're out. Yeah.
Because they already had like the premises. They were probably thinking of leaving soon anyway.
Yeah. I reckon they probably would have stayed and caused as much mischief as they could before getting caught and then running. But then, so they were like, all right, well, it looks like this is the time then.
So yeah, then they jump on their brooms and then they're like, if you liked the stuff you saw today, you can find us at our new premises at this place.
Yeah, Diagon Alley. Special discounts for anyone who swears to use our product. Get rid of this old bat.
Yeah, and then they look at Pease and they go, give her hell, Pease. And Pease takes his hat off and bows at them and then salutes.
Yep. And then they fly out the front doors into the glorious sunset.
Yes. And that's the end of the chapter.
It is.
Oh, God. Well, thank you for tuning in, guys. We hope we've aided you in your... We hope we kept you company.
I hope we've given you aid.
If we have, then you really better stay indoors.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. No, please find us on... please find us. Stop us from doing this. find us on Twitter and Instagram at PaulieRedPod and email us at PaulieRed@gmail.com and give us 5 stars and a nice review on the Apple Podcast app. It helps us reach more people and infect their brains. I guess I shouldn't use that word so cavalierly anymore.
What, infect?
Oh, if only we could spread at the same speed. Sorry, Tom.
Say if only this podcast could spread at the same speed. Who knows what sort of state things are going to be in by the time this comes out.
I know. We might be dead by the time this comes out.
Fuck.
What a nice swan song, though.
Yeah, we're recording this in mid-March and shit is just beginning to splatter the fan.
Yeah, so if it's running down the walls by the time this comes out, then please remember us as two people who only wanted to make you laugh in spite of yourself. I think that's our goal, our mission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to eventually achieve a sponsored podcast.
Yeah, we don't always want to get paid in laughter. We would like money at some point. Oh, anyway, I've been Gifted.
I've been Tom.
And Spoon's been Spoon.